Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
In all my time in the Twin Cities, I've never seen such a problem with homelessness like we have seen over the last 2 years. We knew that there were people struggling with housing, but it wasn't out in the open. Because it's so cold in the Twin Cities, we just didn't have people sleeping under highway bridges or some of the stuff you see in other cities. That's changed. The growth in these tent cities kind of popping up has really, I think for a lot of us, put homelessness in our faces. The Star Tribune today did a story on some of the nonprofits and some of the ways that people have had to expand services to try to help out people who are living on the streets, even in the Minnesota winter. And I wanted to learn more about why some of these guys got involved and whether there's hope in this. Michael Gozy, the CEO of the American Indian Community Development Corporation, joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Michael, it's nice to talk to you.
Hello, good afternoon.
Your organization has done such great work in the American Indian, Native American community here in the Twin Cities for a long, long time. Tell me what got you guys involved in taking action as it relates to people on the streets.
Well, you know, it's nothing new for us. AICDC started in 1992, and at that time it was the interest was homelessness. And so we opened up Anishinaabe Wakayagan in 1996 to address some of the concerns that were happening in those days.
That's a 45-bed kind of housing for unhoused people, right, with substance abuse issues?
Correct. You know, it's part of the Anishinaabe campus now, mm-hmm, that is, mm-hmm, Anishinaabe Wakayagan, Anishinaabe Begeewin, and Anishinaabe 3. And so we've expanded our services to meet the needs.
And so you've always been sensitive to this issue. Is it your sense that things are getting worse or that things are just more in the open? Or what's your sense on the homeless situation in our town?
It's definitely at the highest point that I've ever seen it also.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of things feed into that. One is the investment of affordable housing by the state of Minnesota has been suspect over the last, you know, couple decades, really. We haven't spent a lot of effort or time or investment in creating affordability for a lot of folks. And I believe right now, on a monthly basis, we lose more affordable housing that continues today.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's no question that household incomes and haven't kept up with certainly inflation over the last year, but even prior to the inflation explosion, you know, people aren't getting paid. People aren't making what they need to make to be able to afford rent. Down at the lower levels of kind of the pay scale, it's a major issue.
You know, and there's been some improvement with over the pandemic period of time. Where there were some resources available. You know, we were paying people $13 and $14 an hour, and now they're up to $18 an hour, which
that's big,
which is close to livable.
Yeah. Yeah, but still the affordable housing options, like you said, just not available at this point. Michael Gozzi is the CEO of the American Indian Community Development Corporation. They've been working on homelessness for years. The Star Tribune talked about how you guys have been taking like a shuttle bus out to drive people around in the overnight hours. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, we've always had outreach in the daytime,
right?
But I always got a lot of pushback. What happens after 5 o'clock when everybody goes home? And so we started an outreach program with the help of Hennepin County. We started the first week in January. So now we're out from 7 p.m. to 3 a.m. And we're looking for folks that are homelessness, needing some services, whether that's withdrawal management or ER services or taken to shelters or any place that's safe, warming centers, whatever we can do to help people get through some of the most difficult times.
Michael, from talking to other people who work on the issue of homelessness, I am concerned that there's a segment of the unhoused community that does not want to go to shelters because, whether it's safety concerns, often it's that they don't want to follow the rules that some of the different, you know, homeless shelters have, whether it's, you know, not doing drugs or not drinking or not having sex, whatever the case may be. They don't want to follow those rules, and they feel they've found more community in these tent cities. What's your take on that, and what do we do about that as a situation?
Well, I think the situation has been really blown up due to the drug epidemic that we have right now, too.
It's the drug. You know, it's a drug problem. Interesting. Opioids.
You know, it is. You know, I deal with it on a daily basis. And again, I think there's a lot of hopelessness that leads people to, you know, any way they can escape. And I think fentanyl seems to be the method they're using today.
Yeah. And so that makes this almost more challenging, right? Because I think we know it's not safe, and it's not safe to have people living in tents along the side of a highway or in a neighborhood park. It's not safe for the people who are unhoused. It's not safe for the people who live in those neighborhoods. It's a challenging problem, and certainly everybody's heart breaks when you see the city crews go in there and kind of clear people out. That's no good either. It's hard. It's easy to feel hopeless. You know what I mean?
Right. You know. Yeah. You know. I've been around for a long time now, and there are ways to address it, but we haven't been very good at looking at those ways. I think we have to be more willing to look at alternatives. But at the same time,
what do you mean by that? What are some of those ways that pop in mind to you?
Well, I think that we've done a poor job in just moving people from place to place. I call it whack-a-mole. All right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They pop up one area, we hit it, and then they pop up the next area, sometimes within a block away. All right. So what have we accomplished?
Right.
And so
nothing.
That I have a problem with.
But are people willing to take the services that are offered? You know, I mean, I think that's where you face this tension of like, all right, what can we do to give people a better option?
Well, my contention is that we're looking for irrational people to make rational decisions, and that doesn't really work. So I think there's and people that have been in recovery, that have recovered from alcohol addiction or drug addiction, you know, will say that without being pushed, they probably would have never looked to the recovery as an example or as a place to go. And so I think that by just moving people, it's not enough incentive to get them to look at some of the options and understanding that we don't have some of the options that are needed as far as treatment options.
Treatment, for sure. Boy, Michael Gozzi, I'm so glad we had you on. This was just really illuminating and a terrific insight from you. I appreciate the work that AICDC has been doing for so long and does right now. Thanks for spending time with us, Mike.
My pleasure, sir. Anytime. Thank you very much.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.